Welcome back. Our guest for the remaining portions of the show, Steve Kuykendall, candidate for State Assembly in the 54th Assembly District. Steve, welcome to our show.
Nice to be back again, sir. I enjoyed our primes here before.
Thank you so much. Just for the record, Steve's Democratic opponent, Betty Carnett, was invited, but because of scheduling conflicts, could not be here. Steve, why do you think you'd be the best person to represent the 54th Assembly District?
I think right now this state's budget's upside down, and it's got a new governor that needs to get the budget back in line and the economy of the state back on track so that he has a long-term financial base to start rebuilding our state to what we used to enjoy, the luster we had a few years back. And that builds on strengths that I have. I mean, I'm a businessman by background, spent many years in the banking and finance industry, and economic development was one of the strong things that I worked on when I was here before in the state legislature.
Now, you served two terms in the state assembly. As a matter of fact, if you're elected, you'll be termed out because that'll
exactly
hit the six-year term limit. You served two terms as an assemblyman and also a term in Congress, of
That's
course.
Correct.
What were your major accomplishments in your two prior terms in assembly?
Some of the things I was most proud of were some of the economic development issues here in Long Beach. One in particular was enterprise zone legislation, which allowed us to expand the number of jobs, which then it was McDonnell Douglas, it's now Boeing plant at the Long Beach Airport where they build commercial airliners. We also worked heavily to eliminate the tax on bunker fuel in the port so that we'll have better economic activity in the port and expand traffic. Back then, it was a big deal because we had just closed all of our military bases and we're trying to figure out how to use all that space effectively and put people back to work. One of the other big areas for me had to do in the area of crime prevention or crime, particularly against children. I was one of the co-authors of the Megan's Law, but also I carried a bill called the Tyler Jaeger Act, which increased the penalties against people who fatally abuse a child to the point of killing them. And that was, to me, one of the greatest accomplishments I had when I saw the mother.
Well, if someone fatally abuses a child to the point of killing them, it sounds like murder.
Well, in the statutes, it was not. It was fatal child abuse, and in fact, you had a 10-year lighter sentence you could be sentenced to, and frequently the person who did the beating would be plea bargain, and they'd plea bargain to fatal child abuse and get a 10-year lighter sentence. And what we did was we changed the sentence. And you can still be convicted of fatal child abuse instead of murder, but you're going to prison for just as long as if you murdered someone.
One of the ballot propositions on the November ballot, as you know, is an amendment of the three strikes law that would require that third strike be a violent or vicious felony in order for the life sentence, 25 to life sentence, to apply. What's your position on that ballot proposition?
I disagree. We should not weaken the three strikes law. That law, in my opinion, has done a great deal to reduce crime in California and put bad people behind bars and keep them there.
Even if the third strike is a nonviolent felony?
Absolutely. And the reason why, Art, is by the time somebody's getting their third strike, remember, they've already broken the law twice before, been convicted of breaking the law, and that's just the twice we've caught them and convicted them, and now they've broken the law yet a third time. If they haven't learned yet by now, civilized society demands more from people than that, and I expect them to act that way.
You know, America, as you know, Steve, imprisons a greater percentage of its population than any civilized country in the world, and yet we still have a crime problem.
I don't want to make it any weaker.
Okay. You mentioned economic development. California's taken some hard knocks. What do you see as the major initiatives that would improve the economic climate for our state?
In California, we've got this wonderful economy that's almost $1.5 trillion in size. We represent 12 or 13% of the United States economy. We are the gateway to the entire Pacific region of Asia and South America, as well as on out to the Australia and places like that, Southwest Asia. So we've got a wonderful base that Mother Nature gave us by putting us on the face of the Pacific Ocean. And we have this great population that lives here. Now, we've got to figure out a way to keep that economy strong enough by incentivizing people to be here, build their business here, retain their business here, bring their business here. And I'm of the approach that we ought to do things that can get our workers' comp rates down. We ought to do things to get our unemployment insurance back so it's a solvent program again. It's not as strong as it should be. We need to do things to take away, in the case of your previous guest, Bob Foster, those folks need to have incentives to get power plants built. We're a state that's neglected its infrastructure for the last 20 or 30 years, And the infrastructure I'm describing is not just any one piece. It's the roads, it's the trains, it's the airports, it's the water infrastructure, it's power plants. And we've got to do
higher education.
Well, that before you can get to that, you've got to make sure you got power to give that campus juice so it can have a campus. And what we've done is we built the whole higher education system. Last time we added anything of any consequence to it was back in, I think, Ronald Reagan's time period. We've added little pieces since then. We've put a couple of bond issues through, but that's...
A lot of us, I've been educators, our regular viewers know, and a lot of us feel that part of the economic miracle, which is California, as you were describing, has been caused by the availability of high-quality, low-cost higher education, and we don't want to see that weakened.
I agree with you, and right here, in fact, right here in Long Beach, we have got one of the jewels. In fact, you're affiliated with it, California State University, Long Beach. That campus graduates more engineers than any other campus in the nation. If you can imagine that.
Yeah.
We have got the entire aerospace and aeronautical engineer system of this Southern California area that built planes going all the way back to World War II.
And over half the teachers teaching in California are graduates of one of the 23 campuses.
I'm a graduate of one of the campuses. I got my master's degree there when I was a young Marine in California in San Diego.
Yeah.
And went from there into the banking business. This system is an extraordinarily powerful tool in our way to keep an educated workforce and to keep them capable of building this economy.
Okay, we're going to be continuing our conversation with our guest, Steve Kuykendall. We'll put up a bumper with his campaign telephone number and website. Also, I'm sure Steve joins me in this, reminding you all the importance of registering to vote. You cannot vote if you're not registered. The last day to register is October 18th. We'll be back with more of our show after these messages.
That's right, miss.
Hogs?
Energy hogs. If you're wasting energy, you'll find one in your home.
Got energy hogs in your house? Now you have the power to do something about them. Log on to energyhog.org.
Hey, let me go!
In your dreams, Sporty.
Because nobody likes an energy hog.
So, which job are you applying for?
There's more than one.
A couple more.
Wow.
High school graduate, right?
No, I dropped out.
Oh, well, that kind of narrows it down. But you may be in luck. We have one opening, and it's in advertising.
All right.
Go to OperationGraduation.com.
On June 4th, my big brother was sentenced to 5 years in prison for a gun crime. That day, he sentenced me to 5 years of walking home alone from school.
When you commit a gun crime, your family pays the price.
We're back continuing our conversation with our guest, Steve Kuykendall, candidate for Assembly in the 54th Assembly District. Steve, a moment ago we were talking about economic development for the state. One of the ballot propositions is 64 that would prevent so-called shakedown lawsuits. I know you support that.
Yes, I do. I mean, there's no reason that you or I, if we've been damaged by somebody's business, that we shouldn't be able to sue for retribution or to right the wrong. But this lawsuit is going after a loophole in the law that literally allows somebody to sue that has no economic loss to recover on. There's nothing been done wrong.
And some small businesses have been basically shaken down by unscrupulous law firms.
And they'll target a whole section of businesses. Maybe they'll decide we're going to go after hairdressers today for misusing something they apply to your hair.
But opponents of that proposition say, well, that will prevent suing in legitimate cases against businesses that really are abusing the public.
It doesn't prevent anybody from suing if you've suffered any loss. I mean, that's the point. If you think you've been damaged or injured, you still have that right. This only applies to somebody who's a lawyer who has no economic stake in this thing other than the fact if I can sue and get a settlement, I'll get something paid to me.
Steve, you've been in public office for 9 years, 3 years as a councilman and then mayor of Palos Verdes, 4 years in the Assembly, 2 years in Congress, and, of course, 5 years in the Marines, which is very much public service. You're looking back, let's take your elected positions, what reaction, what conclusion have you reached as far as public service goes?
I would commend it to anyone who wants to undertake it, Art. It's probably the greatest privilege I've ever been given. I look back at my military service, and I'm very proud of that. And my time on a city council or a state legislator or a congressman, the fact that thousands of people gave to me the ability to be their representative and take with me their dreams and their family's hopes and their business aspirations and depend upon me to make those decisions is an extraordinary privilege. And I don't know that anybody can probably have anything greater given to them.
It's easy to talk negatively about our elected officials. We see it in the paper. We see it on TV shows. But I personally do respect those that put their hat in the ring and suffer the slings and arrows, as they say. You probably get a lot of complaints and not nearly enough compliments. So this is not just personal to you, but to all people who run for office, my hat's off to them.
Art, and I would ditto the comment. This system of ours, our democracy, only works as long as citizens step up to be the representatives. And as soon as they quit stepping up, that's when we have a real problem.
And we see tragically in other parts of the world that democracy does not function well or doesn't even exist. And some people that run have targets on their back. So let's give a small round of applause to all of our elected officials and all of the candidates running for offices. And again, I know you join me in urging everyone to register to vote.
Absolutely. I look back at the things that I, as a member of the military, was trying to protect. And I was trying to protect the privilege that Americans have to put who in office they want to put in office. And you can't do that if you don't register.
Fair enough. Recently, we attended the League of California Cities annual convention that was held here in Long Beach. And we spoke with Ron Loveridge, the mayor of Riverside and the outgoing president of the league. Let's take a listen. Okay, we're here with Ron Loveridge, the immediate past president of the League of California Cities, also the mayor of Riverside, and Ron presided over part of the general session of the league's meeting here in Long Beach. And Ron, your impressions of Long Beach?
Well, I was struck by the difference between now and 2 years ago. And you know, the script said a city in action, but it was a city in motion. And I also I was going to go down to visit the chancellor's office of the CSU system, but I missed the turn off to the left, and so I went over the bridge and got deeply immersed in the maze of the port. And you realize what an extraordinary port that is.
Well, cities are facing a unique challenge in these times of budgetary cuts and also terrorist threats. What's the message that you brought to the over 450 cities that are represented here?
Well, the message is very simple for us. It's the year of the ballot. It's Proposition 1A. It's to protect local revenues and it's to say no more do we want to be the ATM machine of the state of California, and that we need to have ways that we can do local services, whether it's police or fire or public health or libraries or park and recreation, and we want to have some kind of funds that predictable, understandable funds, and be accountable for them.
Also, there's been a concern that with the terrorist threat that not enough aid has been coming from the federal government to help the police and fire of each city, which are, in fact, the first responders.
Yeah, well, I've lost a lot of... I mean, I don't sort of look to the federal government for resources, and so I think it has to go through the state and it gets funneled around, and I'm not sure what how the priorities get sorted out. But I think we as cities recognize that we're in this together, and that we need to make what commitments for homeland security. But I personally have no longer sort of look for that kind of resources from the federal government, that we have to sort of find it ourselves. And that's why, again, we need to protect our local revenues. So there are state revenues and local revenues.
And our keynote speaker, David Gergen, made very much the point that Californians and Americans very much know how to circle the wagons and get the job done when the going gets tough.
Well, that's what the call is now, I think. And one of my great calls as mayor is the idea of social capital, which is the Robert Putnam kind of concept. But, we need what a community is, that people get outside their homes to connect, to develop trust. And if you do that, good things happen.
Mr. Mayor, thank you so much for joining us here on Straight Talk.
Okay, thank you.
And there were mayors and council people from over 450 cities in Long Beach for the whole weekend. They had a great time and very impressed with what is happening here in Long Beach. We'd also like to take a moment to honor a young man. We start each Straight Talk show with a one-minute tribute to police, fire, and military, because these are people who every day risk their lives for total strangers. A young man who had been a student at California State University, Long Beach, Edgar B. Declan Jr., a 24-year-old electrical engineering student from the Philippines, felt that his country needed him, and he did not finish. He withdrew from the university, even though he had 1 year to go, volunteered for the army in Iraq, and tragically was killed on September 10th. So to his family and his friends, our deepest condolences, and we honor this young man's service for walking the walk. And Steve, I know you share that view.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for being our guest. Remember to vote. Thank you all for watching Straight Talk. Please be with us next week for the next edition of our show. Good night, everyone.